We're holding on Samachtes Amud Aleph, fifth line. We've talked so far about that a father with his daughter, or an arus with his arusa together with the father, or the husband with his wife, has the ability to do one of several things when a neder takes place. One of them is hakama, which is that he indicates that he approves of the neder. And another one is hafara, which is the opposite, that he can cancel or veto or disapprove of the neder. Good morning, Ali. So now Rava has a question. Samachtes Amud Aleph, fifth line. Yesh she'ela b'hokim or ein she'ela b'hokim. When it comes to hakama, is it possible to be matir neder on it? So in other words, so the wife, let's say, made a neder. The husband was makayim it. He said or indicated something that he approves of this neder. Is he now able on that same day to be made for the neder? To obviously now having done hakama, he can't do hafara. The pasuk makes that very clear. But can he be matir neder? Can it be matir neder on the hakama? And now we go back to square one. And now he has till the end of the day to do hafara. So the Ran says, obviously it wouldn't work if he did the Hataras Nedarim on the Hakama the next day, because it doesn't matter. Then the fact is he let the day pass without doing Hafara. So obviously, therefore, he's not going to be able to do Hafara. So that obviously he's not going to do Hafara anymore. The question is only on that same day. There are in fact Rishonim who learned that maybe it would work even if it was another day, on the grounds of, we've talked before about the idea that the clock doesn't really start ticking until he actually hears about the neder. And there's also, we're going to talk about later in the Masechta, another point is the clock starts ticking only when he knows he's able to be made for this neder. Suppose he heard the neder, but he didn't know at the time, he didn't know the dinim, and he didn't know that he's able to be made for this neder. Later on, he discovers that he could, then the clock starts ticking then. So you could argue, and there are Rishonim who do, that the same thing would be true over here. If we're going to say that he could be matir neder on the hakama, maybe the clock would start then. But the Ran says, clearly not. We're talking about it's all on the same day. But that's the question. If it's all on the same day, would that work? Or would we say that you can't be matir neder as far as the hakama? The question is basically, the Rosh titers out. You could ask, on the one hand, the hakama itself is not a neder. The whole concept of Hataras Nedarim, we learn from a pasuk lo yachol dvarei, that when a person has made a neder, he's not allowed to desecrate it. So this is not a neder in and of itself. On the other hand, the fact is, with the hakama, he's upholding the neder. Maybe that's enough for it to be considered like the neder and for Hataras Nedarim to be able to apply to it. And the Imtimtzaloymar yesh she'ela b'hokim, and if you're going to say that maybe indeed there could be such a thing, yes, it is possible to do Hataras Nedarim on the hakama, which actually we touched on that a few days ago at the beginning of the parak. We said that there was a section of the Mishnah that seemed to be unnecessary, and it was meant to teach us this kind of din. But now we're asking, is that in fact the case? Hagoyis Ma'arav Ranshburg on the side over here refers to something that he referred to over there, which is that when we asked the question about a piece of our Mishnah, why was it necessary? And we gave the answer because it hints at that point when he did Hakama, and then he was Matu Neder on the Hakama. So actually, the Yerushalmi had given a different answer why that piece of the Mishnah was necessary, and therefore, according to that, there may not be a source in the Mishnah for the idea that you can be matir neder on the hakama. So Rava is asking the question, but he's saying im timtzaloymar, if you're going to say yes she'ela b'hokim, that yes, you could be matir neder on the hakama, and then what happens is we go back to square one and we say, well, now there's no hakama and no hafara yet, therefore now he's able to be mefer. Well, then the question is, yesh she'ela b'hofer or ein she'ela b'hofer? Now we can ask the question, is Hataras Nedarim relevant as far as the hafara or not? Meaning the opposite. So his wife made a neder, he was made for it. Is he maybe now able to be matir neder on that hafara and say that now it should undo the hafara, and now again, we go back to square one, and then we wait and see. Either he's made for it again during the day, or he's not made for it, or he's makayim it, and then the neder is in effect. Now, what kind of a question is that? Why would you be matir neder on the hafara at all? So, and the Ran discusses, it's true, practically speaking, it may not be relevant to talk about hataras nedarim for the hafara. But the question is, on the one hand, yeah, hafara is not really like a neder at all. Even the hakama, we're saying, is only upholding the neder. It's not the neder itself. The hafara is certainly even more distant from an actual neder. On the other hand, though, the Ran explains, further on in the perek, we're going to talk about that there is a hekesh in the Torah between hakama and hafara. You have one of the psukim in this section of Parshas Matos that says the expression isha yikemenu v'isha yiferenu, that her husband can uphold the neder or her husband can veto the neder. So we see that there's a hekesh between them. We learn a din from that later on in the perek about a certain din of hakama and hafara. So now Rava is asking, given that we have that hekesh, does that mean that it extends even as far as that we should be able to do hataras nedarim on a hafara just as we would on a hakama? Or maybe the hekesh doesn't apply to such things which are not really relevant. So that would be the question then. And the Rosh similarly says, he says that once we say that it is possible to matir neder the hekim, maybe the same thing would be true as far as the heter. So therefore, again, then the neder goes back to its full strength originally, or maybe not. Maybe you could only say there's a taras nedarim when you have something that upholds a neder, which is considered like a neder, but not the hafara. So the Gemara answers, Toshma, we can prove the Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Nish'olin ala hekem ve'in nish'olin ala hefer. The answer is, Rabbi Yechanan says exactly that. You could be matir neder on the hakama, because the hakama is similar enough to the original neder that Hataras Nedarim applies to it, ve'in nish'olin ala hefer, but you can't be matir neder on the hafara. So then that would mean, in other words, that even though we have the hekesh, it's not really a full-fledged hekesh. We only use it to learn certain dinim, namely what we're going to learn later on in our perek on Ayin Vav Amud Beis, but not we don't use it to apply to things that are not really relevant to hafara at all. In fact, Rabbi Akiva Eger and Gilui Nashas over here references a Ran later on in the Masechta, which points out there's other areas where we see that hakama and hafara are not the same. For example, hafara has to be verbalized. To be made for a neder, the husband or the father or the oris has to actually say, I veto this neder. I cancel, I refuse to allow this neder to be. As opposed to hakama, it's enough that he thinks in his mind that it's upheld, and that's considered a valid hakama. So we see that there's many ways in which hakama and hafara are not the same. So regarding, there's one particular din that we're going to learn later on in the perek, that there's a hekesh between them. We don't use that hekesh. It's not really a true hekesh, and we don't learn other things from it. So therefore, that means in our case, there's no such thing as hataras nedarim on the hafara. Once he was made for, then that's it. The neder is canceled, and that's that. If he wants the neder to be in effect, she is going to have to make a new neder. Okay. Another question. Boy Rabba, kayim lichi, kayim lichi. What if the husband says twice to the wife in succession, this is mekuyam, this neder is upheld for you? So she made a neder. He says, kayim lichi, kayim lichi. And then the nishal al hakama rishona. Then he was matur. Now we just established that you could be matur neder on a hakama. So now he went and was matur neder on the first hakama. So now we could look at it two ways. On the one hand, at the time he said the second hakama, it wasn't able to be chal because the first one was already in effect. Once he was mekayim the neder the first time, then it's already in effect. Saying again, kayim lichi has no effect. So therefore, maybe now when he was matur the first neder, then the second statement was meaningless and we can't do anything with it. Or do we say that it was sort of hanging there in the air, waiting until there was room for it to be chal, and now when the first one is removed, then there's room for the second one to be chal. So, mahu, what would be the deal? Well, it says, Toshma, do Amar Rava. We can prove that. We can prove the answer from what Rava says. Im Nishal Ala Rishona. If he was, so Rava says actually in a different context. Rava is talking about, we had this earlier in the Masechta. It's also in the Gemara in Shavuos. Suppose a person says, now we learned earlier in our Masechta that one difference between the Dardim and Shavuos is that a Neder is not able to be Chal on top of another, that a Neder is able to be Chal on top of another Neder, but a Shavua is not. Because a Shavua, we said, is on the person, I won't do such and such. And therefore, once he says, I won't do such and such, then he can't strengthen it by saying another one. So if he says, for example, I won't eat this bread, and again he says, I won't eat this bread, he's only getting one set of malchus if he eats the bread. However, Rava says, in that context, in Nishal al Rishona, if he's Matur Neder on the first one, Shnia Chola Olav, then the second one is Chal, because we say then the second one doesn't just disappear. It remains suspended over there until there's room for it to be chal, and then it is chal. Well, now that he was matur the first neder, and it's considered as though it never existed, now there's room for the second one to be chal. Applying that to our case over here, then we would say the same thing, that it means that once he's matur the first hakama, which amounts to a kind of neder or shvua, then there's room for the second one to be chal, and therefore, yes, her neder is still being upheld, unless he's matur that second hakama as well. Another question, and by the way, I mean, Rava lived after Rabba. Rabba was one of Rabba's rebbeim. So evidently, what happened over here was that Rabba had asked the question and it remained open for a while until Rava said his din in the following generation in a different context, and then the Chachmei Yeshiva realized that we're able to use that to answer this question as well. Boy Rabba. Now Rabba has another question. What if the husband says to the wife, Kayim lichi umufa lichi. He says, this neder, well, again, the father to his daughter, whatever, this neder is upheld for you and is canceled for you. Now, if he had stopped there, then the Rosh and Tosfos point out, obviously, therefore, we would say that the neder is in effect, because once he's Makayim the neder, there's no way to be made for it. So then we would just stop there. However, in this case, he added a wrinkle, v'loy techol hakoma, elim ken chola hafara. I don't want the hakoma to be in effect unless the hafara is in effect. So what's going on over here? So the Ran explains like this. Obviously, in that case, the hakoma cannot be effective, because how is it going to be effective? He's saying that the hakoma won't be effective unless the hafara is. Well, if the hafara is effective, then it means the neder is gone. There's nothing for the hakoma to apply to. In fact, he points out further on in the sugya, we're going to get to soon on the top of Ayin Amud Aleph. We're going to talk about a case where he says that the hakoma or the hafara are only for a certain amount of time. So there, you can talk about that. You can talk about once that time expires, then maybe you can talk about whether it really does expire or not. But here, he left it open ended. He said that the hakoma won't be in effect unless the hafara is in effect. So obviously, if the hafara is in effect, then there's nothing for the hakoma to land on. And if the hafara is not effective, then the hakoma is not going to be effective, because that was his condition. So far, fine. The question Rava is asking is the hafara effective? The question would be, on the one hand, first he said kayim lichi, and only then he said mufa lichi. So maybe that means, in other words, so maybe he means that it's a reciprocal condition. Maybe it means that he's saying, I want the same way as he explicitly said, I want the hakoma to be in effect only if the hafara was in effect. Maybe the same thing is true in reverse, that he's also implicitly saying that the hafara should work only if the hakama works. And then obviously that wouldn't work, because once you're makayim and neder, you can't be made for it, unless, as we said, you're matur neder. And in fact, he says that the very fact that he put hakama first implies that maybe he wants to do it that way. Or on the other hand, the fact is, he's saying that when he's saying Kayim Lichi or Mufa Lichi, maybe it's just the fact is he's a human being. He can't say two things at the same time. Only Hashem could do Shama V'Zachar B'Dibur Achad. So maybe all it is maybe he wants the maybe in fact he wants the maybe he does want the Hafara to be in effect, but he's saying as far as the Hakama, once the Hafara is in effect, then I want the Hakama to be in effect. Really, what he means is, in other words, he wants them to be in effect at the same moment. So the question is, in other words, so maybe then we would say, now the Hafara prevents the Hakama from taking place, so maybe, in fact, the Hafara would be effective. So the Ran explains, the Ran says, in fact, at the beginning of this explanation, he says, I saw Uriya Rishonim, who explained this, but they didn't really explain it clearly. So therefore, he goes through and explains what we just said. That's Rabba's question. Is essentially, do we say that he meant a reciprocal condition? So he's saying, I don't want the hakama to be in effect unless the hafara is in effect first. And of course, if it is, then there's nothing for the hakama to be chal on. So the hakama for sure is not going to take effect. There's one way or the other. If the hafara takes place first, there's no room for hakama. And if the hafara doesn't take place, then his condition hasn't been fulfilled. The question is, does the hafara take place? Do we say that he also intended reciprocally to say the hafara should be effective only if the hakama is? And since the hakama is not effective, neither is the hafara. So the result is that the neder is still open until he does something with it. Or do we say that he really did mean for the hafara to take effect simultaneously with the hakama? And so fine, the hakama itself won't be able to take effect, but then the hafara will. It seems obviously like a very contrived case. Would you ever have in all of Jewish history, would you ever have a father who said such a thing to his daughter or a husband to his wife? But that's how it is. In the Gemara, we have to deal with very unlikely cases as well. And after all, many times we use them to derive a certain point in halacha, which maybe the actual case itself might not happen, but we learn from it a point in halacha which is applicable to other cases. Besides which, you have what the Alter Rebbe talks about towards the end of Tanya, the idea being that everything in Torah is chochmasa ritzonish halakadosh baruch hu, and even the unlikely cases, there has to be there's some source for them in Hashem's chochma. Anyway, so the Gemara answers. Toshma miplugta did a mayor for Rabbi Yosi. We can try to answer that based on a machlokas from Meir and Rabbi Yosi, which we've had this machlokas before. We discussed this point earlier in our Masechta, and I think also in Ksubas. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah, harezu tmuras ola tmuras shlomim. Now we know the Torah tells us the concept of tmura, that if you have an animal for a korban and you say, I'm exchanging this for this other animal, then the person who does that is chayev malchus, because the Torah says, lo yachlifenu v'lo yomiroi. So both of them have kedusha. So the kedusha does not go off the first one, but on the other hand, it does go on to the second one. And now v'hoyahu tmurasi yakodesh, both animals have to be brought as a korban. So in a normal case, let's say a person had an animal for an oila, and he takes another animal and says this should be a tmura of the oila, then the din will be that now both of them are considered oilas. What happens though if he takes another animal and he says harezu tmuras oila tmuras shlomim? So it's not that he made a mistake. We could be talking about he did pshogeg or b'mezid. But Pashtos, let's say, to keep things simple, that he did it b'mezid. He knew he wasn't allowed to make a tmura, and he did. Because if he did it by mistake, then you have a whole discussions in the Gemara whether certain things with korbanos that are betos don't count. So to keep things simple, let's say he knew that the Torah says he's not allowed to be maimer, and he did it anyway. So now, suppose that he has two animals. So suppose that he has two animals already. One's an ola and one's a shlomim. And now he says on a third animal, harezu tmuras ola tmuras shlomim. He says this third animal should be a tmura of an ola, a tmura of a shlomim. So now, what is it? So harezu tmuras ola divrei Rav Meir. So the mayor says it's going to now be a tmura of an ola only. Meaning, in other words, that Reb Meir is going to say, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, that you go first Loshen Rishon, you go according to the first Loshen that he said. Once he said, this should be a Tmura of an Oila, then there's no room for it to become a Tmura of a Shlomim. Right at that instant, it right away gets the Kedusha of an Oila. So, And on the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says it depends. Im lekach miskaven mitchila, if that's what he meant to begin with, if in fact he taka meant when he started speaking that he intends to do both kedushas on the animal, then hoyovi efshel likus shnei shemus kachod. Since it's impossible to say the words ola and shlomim at the same time, dvarav kayamin, then what he says is valid, and the result is that now the animal is actually half ola, half shlomim. So you can't bring it as a korban. You're going to have to leave it to graze, as you always do with animals that cannot be brought as a korban. You're going to leave it till it to graze until it develops a mum. Then you're going to sell it and use half the money to buy an ola and half the money to buy a shlomim. The point being that sort of Yossi is saying that if it was when you said Tmuras Ola, you really meant for it to be Tmuras Ola, and then afterwards you changed your mind and said, you know what, I want it to be Tmuras Shlomim, sure, Rabbi Yossi is going to agree, that's not effective. But when you meant to begin with, all along, you meant to say both, and just the reason why you mentioned one before the other is because you're a human being and you're physically incapable of saying two words at the same time, then Rabbi Yossi says both of them are effective. Now, the Ran brings from the relevant Gemara in Tmura, that it's like this. If he had said, I want this one to be chal and then that one to be chal, everybody would agree, even Rabbi Yossi, that you go according to Loshen Rishon, because because he's saying that he wants the kedusha of the oila to go on this animal and then the kedusha of the shlomim. Well, by the time the kedusha of the shlomim comes along, the animal already has the kedusha of an oila, and it's too late to do anything with it. On the other hand, continues the Gemara over there, if he says, on the other hand, he says, I don't want this one to be chal unless that one is chal, then both of them, and then even Reb Meir would agree that it has both kedushas, because the fact is, it is possible to have an animal which is half ola and half shlomim, and we do exactly that. In other words, let's say the regular case. Forget about tmura for a second. A regular case, a person takes an animal and says, I want this animal to be half ola, half shlomim, the din would be that now it has the din of half ola, half shlomim, and you have to leave it until it develops a mum, and then you sell it and use half the money for an ola, half for a shlomim. So in that case, if he said that I want it to be tmura, if he said I'm going to make a tmura over here with two animals, I want one to be chal only if the other one is chal as well, then yes, even Reb Meir would agree that both of them are chal. The machloikus would be specifically where he said the words that we have in front of us in the Gemara, tmuras ola, tmuras shlomim. Now Reb Meir figures he could have said tmuras ola ushlomim. He could have said, I want it to be a tmura of an oila and a shlomim. And Reb Meir says, then I would agree that it's considered a tmura of both. Instead, he said, tmuras oila, tmuras shlomim. So that amounts to saying that he's saying, I want it to be a tmura of an oila, and then I want it to be a tmura of a shlomim. And Reb Meir says, well, that doesn't work. By the time it's a tmura of an oila, there's no room for it to be a shlomim. Reb Yossi says, on the other hand, that the fact is, he may have figured that I need to say tmura on each one, otherwise it's not going to work. So he actually meant for both kedushas to be chal on it, and the only reason he didn't say them simultaneously, so the reason why he didn't say tmuras oila ushlomim is because he was mistaken. He thought that that's not going to be effective. He thought that in order for it to be a tmura of both, he needs to say the word tmura on each one. And the fact that he said them one after the other is only because he's a human being and he can only say things one after the other. So we see, in other words, that when you have two things, one after the other, and he's saying that you have two things, one after the other, then Rabbi Yossi is saying that Reb Meir is going to be saying you go according to the first Lashon, Rabbi Yossi is going to be saying you have to look at his intention. Applying that to our din then. So according to Reb Yossi, then we certainly have the answer. According to Reb Yossi, then there's no question. Getting back to our case over here now, where he said kayim lich mufer lich, and he said the hakama should be effective only if the hafara is effective. So according to Reb Yossi, no question, the hafara will be effective. Because again, according to Reb Yossi, we say whenever possible, we're going to be making both of them chal. Here it's a little bit different, because unlike with a tmura, where an animal can be half ola, half shlomim, here you can't have a neder, which is half mufer and half not. It's either an effect or not. So Rabbi Yossi is going to say that the fact that we have one before the other doesn't mean anything. Therefore, we're going to say that the same way as over there, saying Ola before Shlomim doesn't mean anything. It means both of them are in effect. The same way, the fact that he put Hakama before Hafara doesn't mean anything. And therefore, the result is that the Hafara is in effect. And now the Gemara goes on to say, V'afilu l'Rav Meir. Now, even according to the Meir, Loi Ka'omar, when is your Meir saying that the animal is only one or only the other? We said Rav Meir would say his din only when he didn't explicitly say that one that one should be chal only if the other one is chal. Because we said Rav Meir had said in that case, when he says if he said the Tmuras Oila should be effective only if the Tmuras Shlomim is effective, he didn't talk about that case. He just said Tmuras Oila, Tmuras Shlomim. Avalhocha, the Amalai Techol Hakama Elim Ken Chola Hafara, but here where he's actually saying, I don't want the Hakama to be in effect unless the Hafara is in effect. Rameyu Nami Moida, the Hafara Chola, then Rav Meir is going to agree with Rav Yossi that the Hafara will be effective. So in other words, the difference is that over there, he didn't say anything about one being chal, only if the other one is chal. But over here he did. So both Rav Meir and Rav Yossi would agree then that in fact, we can't say that with a neder, unlike with a korban, you can't say it's both, so that it has to be either one or the other. So the result is that we have a hafara. We don't have a hakama for sure, because we said there's no way for the hakama to be chal, because if the hafara is effective, then there's no room for hakama. And if the hafara is not effective, then his explicit condition was that the hakama is not going to work either. But on the other hand, the hafara will be effective. We will in effect consider as though he said hakama and hafara in the same instant, and we're going to say the hakama. The hakama doesn't have room to be chal, but the hafara does. Therefore, the hafara is effective. The Ran goes on to point out, by the way, that we're going to talk about the next piece of the Gemara is going to talk about a rule that we're going to say when you have the next piece of the Gemara that was Rabba's next question. We're going to say that when you have things which are not able to be effective one after the other, then they're not effective if they're bavas achas either. We're going to have that in connection with Rabba's next question. So how would that fit with what we just said over here? Then we just said that over here, in effect, we are considering that it's bevasachas. The answer is, the difference is, the Ran says, because here you don't really have a hakama at all. Unlike in the next case that we're going to talk about, where you could talk about that the hakama interferes with the hafara, here it doesn't, because the hakama itself was only a conditional one. It depended on the hafara being effective. And therefore, we said in the end, there's no way for it to be effective. Therefore, it doesn't block the hafara from taking effect. Unlike the next case that we're going to deal with in the Gemara, where there he doesn't make one depend on the other. And then we would say the din would be different. So the Gemara continues. So the bottom line is, in that case, so yes, if he said something like that, if he said, you're kayim lich mufur lich, he said, this neder is mekuyim for you and is mufur for you, but the hakama should be effective only if the hafara is effective, then in fact, the hafara would be effective, the hakama would not. By the way, we are going to talk about later on in the Masechta, that when the person is mekayim the neder, when the husband or the father is mekayim the neder, he has, as usual in halacha, he has up till toch kedei dibur to change his mind. So over here, the fact that he said kayim lich mufur lich is not reason enough to automatically say, well, you know what, he said kayim lich, therefore we have to hold him to that, because within toch kedei dibur, he's already adding that the condition, and therefore, and during the toch kedei dibur, he would have even had the ability to altogether say mufur lich, and therefore that works. Okay, another question. Boy Rabba, What if, so now, the previous case was, he said both of them, but he said one should depend on the other one. Now, what if he said, not depending one on another, he says, he says, this neder is upheld and is mufur for you at the same time. So now the Ran brings two possibilities. One is that he only said lichi one time. He said kayim umufur lichi. Lichi means to you. It's the feminine form of lacha. In Tanakh, you would usually use the word loch for it, but in Gemara terminology, the usual word when you're talking to a woman is lich. So one possibility is he said it like we have in the Gemara in front of us. Kayim mufur lichi. He says that he says it's kayim and it is mufur to you. B'vasachas. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's saying the words b'vasachas, but he's saying kayim mufur lichi. Or the other possibility is the Ran says it could also be where he says kayim lichi mufur lichi. He uses the word lichi twice. Where you say to say this is kayim for you and this is mufo for you. The point is, in other words, it's now obviously both of them can't be chal because the neder is either mekoyim or mufer. The question would be that before we said that if one of them is chal, the other one can't be chal. Here he said b'vasachas, which one really is the one that's meant to be first? Okay. So would we have before to be? That? What? Well, no, because it wouldn't necessarily be the first one we said. We just said, Rabbi Yossi had mentioned in the case of Tumuras Oila, Tumuras Shlomim, just because he said Tumuras Oila first doesn't mean anything. That's just because he can't say two words at the same time. Here he meant all along to say the two things at the same time. So fine, according to the mayor, maybe we could say that, that the first one is Chal, the second one is not. But according to Rabbi Yossi, what would we say? Reb Meir had said, if the person says, I don't want this one to be chal unless that one is chal, that was our previous case. Now we're saying he's not saying that. Now he's just saying, kayim umufa lichi, which is the equivalent, what? Right, but that's the equivalent of saying, tumuras oila, tumuras shlomim. Where the mayor had said that would mean that we go according to Tumuras Ola, we go according to his first Lashon, and once he said Tumuras Ola, then that's it. It's an effect, it's now an Ola, and that's that. But according to Rabbi Yossi, at least, we're over there, Rabbi Yossi says it can be both. Well, here, a neder can't be both. So what is according to Rabbi Yossi, what are we going to say? So the answer is, Toshma de Omer Rabba. We can answer it by another statement that Rabba made, which means, in other words, again, it could be that when Rabba originally asked the question, so in fact, Achronim talk about, the Tiferes Tzion talks about that when Rabba asked the question, he hadn't yet come up with the rule that the Gemara is going to quote now. Once he came up with that rule, then the Chachma Yeshiva realized that we can use that to answer Rabba's old question. So he says a rule, called Dover She'ena B'Zeach HaZeh. Whenever you have something which is impossible to be chal one after the other, then it doesn't work even if you did it b'vasachas. The context where Rabba said that din is a din in Hilchas Kiddushin. So suppose a man goes over to two sisters and he says, I'm Makadish both of you. Now, we talked about a few days ago, we talked about a slightly different case. We have a bunch of women, among whom are some sisters, and he's Makadish one of them, and we're not sure which one it is. That's a different thing. That's called Kiddushin Shalanim Sur Labia, and that's the subject of Machlokas Abaya and Rabba. But here we're talking about, he clearly says to the two women, I am Makadish both of you. Now, suppose that they're two sisters, or mother and daughter, or whatever. Once he's Makadish one, the other one is off limits to him. The other one is an erva to him, and Kiddushin won't be tofus with her, because as we learned in Yevamos, Kiddushin are not tofus by anything where there's a chi of Koris or chi of Mrs. Bastin. Two sisters is chayav to marry a sister when you married her sister and they're both still alive, but that's chayav Koris. A mother and daughter would be chayav Mrs. Bastin. So therefore Kiddushin are not going to be tofus in the second one. So what happens then? So Rabba is saying the fact is, give it now. It's a given if you were Makadish one after the other. It's a given if you were Makadish Rachel And then after that, you makadosh Leah, no question, the kiddushin for Leah are not taking effect. Rabbah is saying the same thing would be true even if you were makadosh both of them in the same instant, because the fact is, since you can't do it b'zach hazeh, then you can't do it b'vas achas either.
So neither one would be.
So neither one is going to be makadosh, because how could you say whichever one you're going to say? Therefore, we don't have either one. Now, the Ran points out the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam learns that actually in that case the Hakama will be in effect. Because in other words, the Rambam is going L'chumra and saying, given that we have a suffix, the Gemara has not really a suffix. I mean, the Gemara has answered it from that case of Kiddushin, but nevertheless, in that case, I think in fact the Rambam says that maybe in that case of Kiddushin, maybe you have suffix Kiddushin with them. I'm not sure about that. But in any case, here the Rambam says the result is that because of the suffix, You have a suffix hakama, and therefore we have to treat it as a hakama. The Rambam says, I don't understand why the Rambam would say that. Based on our Gemara over here, it seems neither one of them should be chal.
And by the two women, two sisters, both of them would need to get only the tzurf.
So that's the thing. If we say that there's no kiddushin here at all, then we would say that neither one needs a get. If we said that there might be kiddushin misafik, then we mean that both of them would need a get. Next, boy Rabba. Here's another question Rabba has. Kayim lichi hayoyim mahu. What happens if he says that this neder should be upheld for you today? So what does that mean? Mahu mi aminin kamanda amal amufer lichi lemacher. Does that amount to saying that by saying it's kayim for you today implies that it's mufer for you tomorrow? So what would that mean? The Rosh points out you can't be made for the neder. You can't be made for the neder the next day. What it means though is that he's saying that the hafara that I'm saying today should take effect tomorrow. The hafara that I'm implying today by saying kayim lichi hayoyim should take effect tomorrow.
She's really saying that tomorrow not.
So in other words, he's saying, so he's saying for today, I want the neder to be in effect. But right now I'm saying hafara in advance, which should take effect as of tomorrow. So fine, he was made for B'yom Shama. He was made for on the day he heard it. Good. The problem is he didn't actually say the hafara explicitly. We're only deriving it from what he said, that it's kayim lichi for today. So do we say that it's considered kemanda omala? Mufalichi the macher, does it amount to saying that it is mufa for tomorrow? Oidoma holoi omala. Or we could say the fact is he didn't actually say it. The hafara has to be said, but we said before that hafara, that unlike hakama, where it's possible to be makayim even in his mind, hafara has to be verbalized. So maybe if he only said kayim lichi hayoyim, yes, we can deduce from it that it means mufa lichi the macher, but he didn't actually say the words mufa. So if you're going to answer and say, well, the fact is he didn't say to her. So then if we're going to say that, and by the way, the Gaonim have a rule, and the Rambam uses it and all the other Rishonim use it, that when the Gemara has a string of questions like that tied together with Imtim Tzoloimar, it means the halacha is like the possibility with the Imtim Tzoloimar. So in other words, here, given that the Gemara has asked the question, and now it's saying, if you're going to say that the answer is, since he didn't say mufalich, then it doesn't help, what would be the din in a related case? That means the halacha is, in fact, if he doesn't say mufalich, it doesn't work, since the Gemara used that as a basis for the next question. So if you're going to say that, then here's another question. What about if he says, this is mufa for you tomorrow? So now just the opposite. He didn't use the word kayim lich, but he says I'm mefer for you and it should take effect tomorrow. Mahu mi amin lamacho lemotzi mefer. Do we say, look, he's not able to be mefer tomorrow? Dar kayim the nidu hayoyim, because implicitly then he was makayim the neder today. Because we said, after all, it doesn't just when it comes to being makayim the neder, not only if he says explicitly I am makayim, but if he doesn't do anything by shkia, then also the neder is in effect. So here, he didn't do anything. Yes, he said something, but he said only for it to take effect the next day. So therefore, maybe it's already been mekuyam today, and by tomorrow, by the time the tanai is supposed to take effect, it's too late. Or maybe not. He didn't say that it's kayim for you today. So when he says it's mufu to you tomorrow, he means as of today, retroactive to today. Which means, in other words, that the Ran says Rabba is so Rabba is really not sure about, in other words, do we say b'chlal that a hafara the next day is able to be? So in his first question, the Ran explained he's assuming that a hafara the next day conceivably could work, and the only question is because he didn't actually say it. In the second one, he's saying, you know what, maybe not even, maybe even a hafara the next day doesn't work at all. Now, if we had asked that second one first, then we would know, okay, you know, obviously if hafara, if we would answer the first, if we would have answered the second one and said hafara the next day doesn't work, there'd be no room for the first question. But Rabba has a series of sfeikas over here, and therefore, so therefore he's asking it like this. Next. The im timtza loyma afilo hochi, you're going to say that even in that case, it doesn't work. Kiven de kimei hayoim, because since he was mekayim today, lemacher commander isay dami, then it's considered. It's considered as though the next day the neder is already in effect. He was already implicitly mekayim it by not being made for it that same day. So therefore, it's too late to do anything the next day. If commander isay dami, it's considered as though it exists, as though the nedu exists. In other words, because he wasn't mekayim, he didn't say explicitly kayim lich, but he left it until after shkia, and at that point the nedu takes effect automatically. So if you're going to say that, then what if Omar law? Now this aleph lamed is in parenthesis because there were people who argued maybe it doesn't belong in the Gemara. What's Omar lay? We're in the middle of a discussion. We're in the middle of a series of questions. There's no Omar lay. There's no he said to him. On the other hand, the Rashash says it's really supposed to be Omar law. What if he said to her? In that case, it belongs over here because we're asking the next question. What if he said to her the following lashon? What if he said, Kayim lichi sha'amau? What about if he says that this neder should be kayim for you for 1 hour? Now, when the hour expires, it's still going to be the same day. So now the question is, would we say that that amounts to saying that it's mufer after the hour? Or you could say, again, he didn't actually say mufer lich. Now the difference between this and the earlier question is the earlier he said it should be kayim for an entire day, and by the time the day is over, it's too late to be made for. Here not, exactly, because you still have plenty of time in the day. So maybe therefore it should work. Or maybe again, maybe not. The fact is he didn't say the words mufer lich. So therefore, what'll happen is fine, maybe we'll say that the hakama expires after an hour, but he hasn't actually been made for. So if he doesn't do something between now and shkia, the neder is still going to be in effect. So fine, you're going to answer in that case. The answer would be the fact is he didn't say the word mufer and therefore it's not effective. Well, mihu, nevertheless, omalamai. What if he did say it? What if he did say this neder should be mekuyim for you for 1 hour and after that it should be mufer? What? Mihu means nevertheless. So nevertheless, in other words, granted, fine, maybe we can answer. If he only said kayim l'chsha achas and stopped there, we would say, okay, it means maybe after an hour the hakama expires, but now there's nothing. There's no hakama, there's no hafara. He better do something before shkia. Now, what happens, though, another case would be if he says, it says kayim l'chsha achas, and after that, mufer lich. So he actually used the word mufer lich, but the question is that before that he said kayim lich. So now the question is, do we say, well, once he was Makayim it, then he was Makayim, and you can't take that back. There's no such thing as a kiyum that expires after a certain amount of time. The fact is, that whole day is a valid time to be Makayim or to be Mefer, because the Torah tells us he has till Shkia.
But we learned also that once you're
We learned that once you're Makayim, you can't be made for sure, but here he explicitly said that his Kiyum should be for only an hour. So maybe that's different. The Ran explains that earlier in the sugya. Before, when we asked the question about when Rabbah asked this question about if he says kayim lichi umufu lichi, but I'm making a condition, the hakama should be effective only if the afara is effective. So the hakama and the afara were open ended. So there we could talk about whether one is chal and the other one is chal. Here they're closed ended. He said after an hour, I want the hakama to expire. Is such a thing possible? Is it possible to make a hakama that will expire after an hour, and now the neder reverts to being open, where now there's been no hakama, no hafara so far, therefore he has the ability to do hafara the rest of the day? Or would we say, once he said kayim lichi, then that's it? You can't put a time limit on such things, and therefore the result would be that the kiyum is effective. So on the one hand, we could say, once he upheld the neder, then he upheld it, and the fact that he said that this kiyum is for only 1 hour doesn't help. Or maybe the fact is the whole day is available for hakama and hafara. So maybe, in other words, let's consider, if he hadn't been mekayim, if he had heard the neder, and then an hour later he said mufalich, no question that would be effective. So now the question is, do we say, well, he said kayim lichi, but he also said that should expire after an hour. So maybe after an hour, we consider there's no hakama anymore. Therefore, we're back to square one. So what's the din? So the Gemara says Toshma. Let's try to prove from a Mishnah as follows. In Masech and Nazir, the next Masech after this one, we're going to talk about various dinim when a person becomes nazir. Now, one thing you have with nazirus, which we talked about with nedarim as well, you have the concept that you can be matfis. You have the concept that the same way as with nedarim, you said, for example, you can say this bread is osur to me, and then you can say this meat should be just like this bread, and it also becomes osur. The same way with nazirus, you can have Reuven says I'm a nazir, and Shimon says, and I am going to be an I, then it means that he's grabbing on to Reuven Nazirus and making it his own as well. Now, so the Mishnah describes there, Hareini Nazira, suppose that a woman says, I will be a Nazira, the Shama Baila V'Omav Ani, her husband hears her saying that and says, and I, implying that I will be a Nazir as well, Ein Yochel Ahofer. At that point, he cannot be made for the Neder anymore because once he used her Nazirus to be matched as his own, he showed with that he likes the idea that she became a Nazira. So therefore, it's the equivalent of saying Kayim Lich. So now the Gemara says, V'amai. Now, based on what we're asking over here, why would we automatically say that he can't be Mefer anymore? Name of Ani de'omo hu al nafshe to have a Nazir. You could say he's saying, fine, I want to be a Nazir. Aval hareini Nazira dila. But she was saying, I am a Nazira, the Shah Achas Kaima. So now, for a moment over there, he was Mekayim, because he said Va'ani. But maybe afterwards, that would be the equivalent of saying Kayim Lichi only for an hour. In other words, obviously, her Nazirus is going to be in effect for 30 days. But the fact is that he didn't actually say Kayim Lichi. He only implied it by saying Va'ani. So maybe that would be the Gemara is assuming that would be the equivalent of saying Kayim Lichi with an expiration time.
1 hour.
With 1 hour, let's say. So maybe after the hour, he should be able to be made for her neder.
It's different. I mean, now it's different because we said the minimum is 30 days.
No, fine. But that's the Nazirus is going to be in effect for 30 days. But the neder was still being able to be made for. The fact is, for example, you can have a case we're going to learn about in the second Nazir. We're going to learn about such cases where a woman makes a neder of Nazirus and then her husband vetoes it. The fact, and again, we said it doesn't have to be on the day. It doesn't have to be on the day she made the neder because you can only hear about it several days later. So suppose she became a Nazira and 2 weeks later, her husband finds out about it and is made for. That's it. The Nazirus is cut off at that point, and she doesn't complete the 30 days. So the same thing over here, we could say. So in other words, the Ran says, because if you were going to say that this that he said Va'ani, so that amount, so saying Va'ani amounts to saying that he means that he himself wants to be a Nazir. But so now obviously it is true he wants her Nazirus to be effect, because in effect, because he wants to use it to be matfis his own Nazirus, but maybe that only means, this is how the Ran explains it, maybe he means only that he wants the Nazirus to be in effect for as long as it exists for him to be able to be matfis in it. As soon as he's been matfis, he has no interest in her being a Nazira anymore. That's the point.
He's using
her statement as a basis for his own Nazirus, but he doesn't really want her to be a Nazir. Why can't he just say, I'm a Nazir myself? It's a good question, but let's say. So the Shah, so Aval Hareni Nazira Dila, but the Hareni Nazira, she said, the Shah Achas Kaima, he really maybe only wants it to be in effect for that short time. So after that hour is over, after that time is over, he ought to be able to be mefer. And if we say that not, Amai en Yochel Lahofer, so why can't he be mefer? Lav Mishum Dekibin Dekimai Kimai. The answer must be, once he was Mekayim, he was Mekayim. So therefore, so that would be the answer. Even if he explicitly said, so fine, in that case, he didn't explicitly say that it's Mufar after an hour. But the point is, we were asking the question, would we say that, the question at least we had before was, if he said, I'm Mekayim for 1 hour, would we say at the end of the hour, he has the option to be Mefer? From that Mishnah, it seems to imply that not, because that Mishnah says he doesn't have the opinion. He doesn't have the option to be Mefer anymore. Because he was Machfis himself. Well, that shows that even if he was Mekayim for only an hour, then still, then we say, we ignore the words for an hour. We say, look, you are Mekayim. So that's it. You are Mekayim. There's nothing more you can do about it. The answer is loy. The answer is not necessarily. You can't necessarily answer from that Mishnah. Kasavar, because it could be the Tana of the Mishnah holds, kol va'ani, because when the husband says va'ani, and I want to be a Nazir as well, kimando om kayim lichi la'olam domi, it's the equivalent of saying it should be kayim for you forever without an expiration. In other words, we were assuming for purposes of the proof that when he says that when he says va'ani, maybe he only means that her neder should be in effect for as long as it takes for him to be machfis in it, and then afterwards he doesn't care about it. No, we're saying when he says va'ani, that amounts to saying I'm approving of your neder without an expiration date for the approval. And obviously, therefore, the neder is in effect. So you can't necessarily prove from that anything about where he said an approval explicitly with an expiration time of 1 hour.
Again, so in this cow case, he didn't give it. It's as if he didn't give it.
It's time. As if he didn't give a time, right? Because the answer the Gemara is saying is, don't assume that when he says va'ani amounts to saying that I all I need is for your neder to be in effect long enough for me to be able to be matfis in it. After that, I don't care. After that, I don't care for it to be mekuyam anymore. I'm taking away my hakama. No, we're saying that when he says va'ani, amounts to saying, I like your neder, and I approve of it, and I want it to remain in effect. Well, therefore, then it means that he's saying he wants it to remain in effect without an expiration. So therefore, obviously then the neder is chal. That would be according to everybody, yeah. So the point is, we can't prove one way or the other. So the Ran says, well, therefore, so we have to be machmir and say that we don't have a hafara because we can't prove from the Gemara over here that would be a valid hafara. So if he were to say, it's mekoyim for you for 1 hour, and then after that, it's mufer, and then after, does he have the ability to say after that, it's mufer? Not necessarily. That's what I'm saying, because there's no proof one way or the other. Therefore, we have to assume that the neder is still in effect. Now, maybe we would say that she can't be chayiv malchus being over on the neder at that point, because maybe we could say that hafara is effective, but we would certainly say that she'd have to stick to what she said in the neder.
And was he built after an hour? Can he be made for it?
That's the question. That's exactly the Gemara's question. Can he be made for after the hour? We left it open. So apparently he can. Now, again, obviously we can be matu neder, but that's a whole different matter. By the way, worth mentioning, actually, there are Rishonim who learn that once the husband has been Mekayim and Neder of his wife, or the father of his daughter, or whatever, even Hatoras Nedorim for that Neder will not work. Now, we did say that the Hakoma itself, he can be Matu Neder on. And then once he does that, then he's able to be Mefer, because the Hakoma then has been removed. But there are Rishonim who learn that if he was not Matu Neder that day or whatever on the Hakoma, then even she cannot go to Beis Din afterwards and be Matu Neder, because now this Neder has been made so much stronger by her husband's or father's Hakoma. So I don't think that's the, I don't, I'm not sure that's the accepted Halacha, but there is such an opinion among Rishonim.
So it's back to difference between of saying something on a person myself compared to
going on somebody else. Yeah.
Right. In other words, there's two things we always speak about earlier. One is a neder. Mm-hmm. One is
a neder and one is a shavua. Right. Well, no. I mean, here we're talking about nedarim strictly. I mean, the truth is that the dinim that a husband can cancel his wife's nedarim apply to shavuos as well. For the most part, in most areas of halacha, we don't make that much of a distinction between nedarim and shavuos. You have the same mitzvah on both of them, lo yachel. You have the same thing, you can be matu neder on both of them. You have the same thing, the husband can cancel both of them. There are certain differences that we've talked about here and there. For example, a neder we said is able to be chal on the dry mitzvah, a shavuah is not. There are a few other differences that we said. One neder can be chal. One neder can be chal on top of another neder. One shvur can't be chal on top of another. One shvur can't be chal on top of another shvur. And a few other ones, but yeah.
Now think over here. She's an alcoholic. He says, okay, yeah. Let's see that for an hour you're not going to be able to drink.
No, but that wouldn't work. If she makes a neder of nizirus, then the neder is for 30 days. There's no such thing as nizirus less than 30 days. What other case?
That we're trying to learn from.
Right. So in the case where he says mufalich, where he says kaim l'chshachas, yeah, it could mean that he's saying, like you're saying, sarcastically, let's see if you can keep your neder for 1 hour. But the point is, we said it doesn't. We don't know for sure. We don't know whether that means that the kiyum expires after 1 hour, or whether we ignore the words after 1 hour and it means the kiyum is a kiyum, and therefore, having done that, then he can't be made.
You can't ask him what he had in mind, right?
It's not a matter of asking what he had in mind. The fact is, if he's makayim, then he can't be made for anymore. So now the only question is, is there such a thing as a temporary kiyum? And the Gemara has left the question open. Okay. Shukriya, everyone.